The other day I was fishing on a small stream not far from home. Although a river by name, it's very similar to the creeks or cricks, as they were called, that I fished with my uncle. I'm often reminded of him on these days. He was tall and thin, and his long strides were difficult to follow as we trudged along in hip boots, carrying short fishing rods that worked best in the thick brush and a container of worms in my shirt pocket. He loved driving his little VW bug along narrow two-track roads as far as it would go, then maybe walking along railroad tracks, and finally struggling through tag alders and willows down to the stream. These were stretches of water not commonly fished, and we never saw another person as we left the main road, just the way he liked it. We crossed beaver dams and walked along and through their ponds, where we often caught brook trout. One time, a massive beaver silently surfaced right between us and loudly pounded its tail on the water, spraying us and, in our surprise, almost tumbling us into the pond. My uncle especially liked areas where the creek worked its way under cedar trees. He showed me how to quietly drop a worm in the small openings where we could see water, and it always surprised me when a trout was pulled up from the darkness between the massive red roots. My Uncle Hank was a milkman in rural northern Wisconsin. Yes, in those days there were people who delivered milk in the early mornings right to your doorstep. Back then, small dairy processors were spread across Wisconsin, just like the local breweries. He lived and worked not far from where he and his three siblings, including my mother, were born in a rickety log cabin. Every day he was up at 3 a.m., sometimes a little earlier to do some fishing, before he began his route. I never heard him complain about his job, or anything else for that matter. Another passion, besides fishing, was professional wrestling. You'd get nowhere suggesting that it was all fake and choreographed. I remember watching him as he sat, leaning forward, elbows on knees, 5 feet from the TV screen, so intent on the action that he wouldn't respond to someone loudly calling his name. It was the same intensity that drew him to wild streams that held colorful trout. I think he knew intimately every bit of flowing water within 50 miles, and he always moved from one to the next so as to not overfish any of them, and perhaps just to keep his locations unknown. Private property with no trespassing signs never deterred him from accessing waters that held trout. He knew the conservation officers and their habits, too, as he knew the trout's habits. It was a cat-and-mouse game, and in this case, like a cartoon, the mouse always won. Being around a man who worked so hard and enjoyed life so much and was so kind to everyone was an inspiration. At some point, I discovered that my uncle had parachuted into Italy during World War II, saw a great deal of action and carnage, and was eventually imprisoned as a POW. Of these things, he never said a word. It wasn't his nature to talk about himself or any troubles he might have had. And he had many: hard-to-pay bills, a wife who cheated on him, children he loved and cared for, though not quite sure they were his. It causes me to think about all those old stale jokes about the milkman and the housewife. But what about the milkman's wife? I imagine while a prisoner in Italy, he dreamt of his trout streams and a north woods, the quiet country life. He was an innocent farm boy sent to war, the only overseas travel in his life. And once back home, he found a way to make a living and never again roam far from the place he loved. After his wife finally left him, and his three children were grown and on their own, he sold his now too big house. It wasn't long, however, before he found a woman looking for a husband and a father to her six children. More likely, she found him. Her ex-husband refused any child support, but Hank had no problem providing for another family on his modest milkman income. It all left him with very little in his old age. As his health deteriorated, his last years were in a small assisted living home in a nearby town. Its large back deck overlooked one of his favorite streams where he could fish without having to thrash about through the brush. And the kitchen staff was only too happy to prepare his catch for an evening meal. Ironically, that ex-husband and father of the six children, when he died in his own home, left wads of cash hidden in the walls of his house. I remember many tasty trout dinners in Hank's home. He would deep freeze his catch in milk cartons, of which he had many, after loading them with trout and adding water to the top. When thawed, I swear these fish tasted like they were fresh from the stream. Hank fished for food, not catch-release fishing, popular today. Just like his deer hunting, putting food on the table was as rewarding as the activity itself. Later in my life, when living among the Tlingit people of Alaska, I heard many times that catch-and-release fishing was playing with your food, a sacrilege. My uncle's thoughts were the same. If you weren't fishing to put food on the table, you might as well be watching some pro wrestling.